Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Monday, June 8th, 2026, and we have got a lot to get through today.
A lot, like genuinely a lot. This might be one of the fuller shows we've done in a while.
It really might be. Quick preview of what's ahead. We're going to start with what I think is legitimately one of the most significant things Anthropic has done publicly in months, which is calling for the world to establish mechanisms to pause or slow frontier AI development. We'll dig into that in detail.
And it's not just the announcement itself, it's the reaction. The reaction is fascinating.
It is. And then we've got a whole stack of enterprise news. Major new partnerships, the connector ecosystem is expanding. Claude's cybersecurity program is scaling up significantly. There are new performance benchmarks to talk about. We've got a story about training 1,000 engineers on Claude Code, and then some more concerning news around security vulnerabilities and some allegations about a competitor misusing Claude's outputs.
So yeah. Get your coffee. We're going.
Let's do it. Okay, the big story. Anthropic has formally and publicly called for international mechanisms to pause or slow the development of frontier artificial intelligence. This is a policy position. It's been put out there. It's being advocated for at a high level.
And I want to be clear about what makes this different from the kind of AI safety commentary we've heard before. This is not a researcher tweeting concerns. This is not an op-ed from someone adjacent to the industry. This is Anthropic, one of the three or four companies actually operating at the very frontier of AI development, saying, we need a brake pedal.
And the specific reason they're giving is that they believe AI may soon achieve what's called recursive self-improvement capabilities. So let's just define that term, because it's important.
Please, yes.
Recursive self-improvement is essentially when an AI system becomes capable of improving itself, modifying its own architecture, rewriting its own training process, making itself smarter. And the concerning thing about it is that once that cycle starts, the improved version can improve itself further, and you get this compounding acceleration.
It's sometimes called an intelligence explosion. The idea being that the rate of improvement becomes so fast, so steep, that humans fundamentally can't keep pace with monitoring it, understanding it, or putting safety guardrails on it.
And Anthropic is saying, we might be approaching that threshold, which is...
Hold on, I need to just sit with that for a second because I think people can hear that and think, okay, sci-fi alarm bells, standard AI doomer stuff. But this is Anthropic. These are the people who built Claude. These are some of the most rigorous researchers and safety thinkers in the world. When they say we might be close, they're not being dramatic for attention.
Right, this isn't an organization that's prone to theatrical alarm. Anthropic was literally founded by former members of OpenAI who left specifically because they thought safety wasn't being taken seriously enough. The whole company is premised on the idea that powerful AI is coming and needs to be developed carefully.
So when that company says this might be beyond careful development, we might need to slow down, that's a significant escalation.
It is. Now, the reaction has not been universally supportive, not even close.
Yeah, there's a pretty significant contingent. And I want to take this critique seriously because I think it deserves a serious response, who are saying this is competitive gatekeeping. The argument is, Anthropic has already spent billions of dollars, trained state-of-the-art models, built Claude, established market position, and now they're calling for a slowdown. Very convenient.
The I got mine, now let's pause critique. And it's not an unreasonable thing to notice.
It's not. And I think intellectual honesty requires acknowledging it. The timing is real, the incentive exists, you have to at least consider it.
But, and this is where I think the critique runs into trouble. The validity of a concern isn't determined by the motives of the person raising it. Like, even if Anthropic has a competitive interest in slower development, that doesn't make the concern about recursive self-improvement false.
Right. You have to engage with the substance. And the substance is this a real risk or isn't it? And if it is, does Anthropic's position make sense even accounting for potential self-interest?
And there's actually a more interesting critique that I find more intellectually honest, which is the question of pause to do what? Like, if you establish a mechanism to slow frontier AI development, what happens in that window?
Do you actually solve alignment? Do you actually build international governance infrastructure? Or, and this is the nightmare scenario, do you just hand the frontier to actors who are less safety conscious? Potentially state actors in countries that don't share Western safety norms?
And that's the deep tension in Anthropic's position. Because one of their foundational beliefs, it's basically their origin story, is that powerful AI is coming regardless of what any one lab does. Given that, it's better to have safety-focused labs at the frontier than to cede that ground to people who don't care about safety.
which a pause kind of undercuts. If you pause and China's AI labs don't pause,
then you've just stepped back from the frontier and handed it over.
So there's this genuine internal contradiction in Anthropic's position, and I don't think they're unaware of it. I think they're publicly wrestling with it.
I think that's right. And actually, I find that more credible, not less. If they came out and said, we have a perfectly coherent position and there are no trade-offs, I'd be more skeptical.
The fact that they're articulating something that creates real tension for their own business model and their own strategic rationale suggests to me that there's something real driving it. You don't create that much internal contradiction for PR purposes.
Or at least I hope not.
Yeah, let's give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. But it's going to be a long, messy conversation. This is not a position that gets resolved in a news cycle.
Not even close. And we'll keep following it as the industry responds, which it will, loudly.
Oh, definitely loudly.
So while the policy debate is heating up on one side, Anthropic's enterprise business is moving very fast on the other. We've got a string of major partnership announcements today. KPMG, ZoomInfo, and SK Telecom have all come on board in significant ways.
Okay, KPMG first, because I think that's the most significant of the three in terms of what it signals. KPMG is one of the big four accounting and professional services firms. They work with governments, financial institutions, healthcare systems, the most regulated, compliance-sensitive, risk-averse clients imaginable.
And the fact that a firm like that is integrating Claude into their workflows is a credibility signal that money can't buy. Or, well, I guess technically money can buy it, but you know what I mean.
Ha. But seriously, if KPMG's internal risk and compliance teams have signed off on this, that de-risks the decision for every other Fortune 500 company that might be evaluating Claude. If KPMG is using it, becomes a permission slip.
That's exactly how enterprise sales work. The early adopters in high-stakes industries create cover for everyone else. And there are few industries with higher stakes than the work KPMG does.
And KPMG has clients across every sector. Financial services, manufacturing, pharma, government. So the second-order effect of this partnership is potentially enormous in terms of exposure.
Then you've got ZoomInfo, which is a different kind of use case. ZoomInfo, for anyone not in the sales world, is a major sales intelligence platform. They have this massive database of business contacts, company information, intent data, all the stuff sales and marketing teams use to identify and target prospects.
So integrating Claude there is specifically about making their sales and marketing tools smarter. And I think the use case is pretty intuitive. Imagine you're a sales rep researching a prospect instead of manually sifting through data across multiple screens. Claude is synthesizing it for you in real time. Surface the relevant signals, maybe flag recent news about the company, help you draft personalized outreach.
It turns ZoomInfo from a data repository into something more like an active assistant. That's a meaningful product upgrade.
And for ZoomInfo, it probably helps with competitive positioning. That category of tool has gotten more crowded. Adding Claude as an embedded capability is differentiation.
Then SK Telecom. For anyone outside of Asia, SK Telecom is one of the largest telecommunications companies in South Korea and one of the most technologically advanced telecoms in the world. They've been an early mover on things like 5G deployment.
And telecoms are interesting because it's a two-front deployment opportunity. On one side, you have the customer-facing side, AI-powered customer service, personalized recommendations, smarter support experiences. On the other side, you have the internal enterprise operations, network management, infrastructure planning, business intelligence.
Both sides benefit from a capable AI, and the scale is enormous. SK Telecom has tens of millions of subscribers.
And this continues Anthropic's push into the Asian market, which they've been pretty deliberate about. It's not an accident that they've been building partnerships in that region. The AI market in Asia is massive, and there are strong local competitors.
Having a premier Korean telecom as a reference customer opens doors in ways that are hard to replicate any other way.
So between KPMG, ZoomInfo, and SK Telecom in essentially one news cycle, that's a lot of enterprise firepower. And it tells you something about the state of Anthropic as a business. They're not just the cutting-edge research lab anymore. They're a serious enterprise AI company with real customers in real industries doing real things.
And I think what's fascinating is how this coexists with the pause advocacy story. On one hand, they're saying this technology is moving too fast and we need to slow down. On the other hand, they're signing three major enterprise deals in a day.
I think the distinction they draw is between deploying existing capabilities responsibly and pushing the frontier further. The partnerships are about using what they've built in production with accountability. The pause call is about what comes next in terms of capability development.
It's a coherent distinction. Whether the market and the press accept it as coherent is another matter.
Everything in AI is another matter.
Let's talk about cybersecurity, because there's a significant development there too. Claude Mythos, which is Anthropic's cybersecurity-focused initiative, is expanding access to 150 organizations globally.
Okay, so Mythos was more of a restricted program before, like controlled access?
Right, it's been operating in a more limited capacity, and now they're scaling it up meaningfully. 150 organizations is a real expansion.
And cybersecurity is one of those domains where I genuinely understand why you'd be careful about rollout, because the dual-use concern is not hypothetical. The same capabilities that make an AI useful for defenders, understanding attack patterns, analyzing malware, detecting intrusions, reasoning about vulnerabilities, those same capabilities could make it useful for attackers.
And arguably, attackers benefit more from AI assistance than defenders do, because defenders are already sophisticated and well-resourced in many cases, while attackers?
They are often constrained by expertise. Like, the barrier to launching a sophisticated cyber attack has historically been technical skill. If AI lowers that barrier significantly, that's a real problem.
So Anthropic has been deliberate about how they've rolled this out. Controlled access, presumably vetting the organizations, understanding the use cases before going broader.
And 150 organizations is still a curated group. These are presumably security teams, researchers, potentially government agencies, not a free-for-all.
But it's enough to generate a real diversity of use cases and feedback. You're going to see what's working, what's being used in unexpected ways, what needs additional guardrails.
And I think that feedback loop is exactly the point. You stage the rollout, you learn from it, and you use that learning to inform the next stage. It's risk-managed expansion rather than just flipping a switch.
The alternative, just opening it up fully without that staged approach, would be irresponsible given what these tools can do in the wrong hands.
Yeah, and I think this is actually one of the places where Anthropic's safety culture has a practical, operational expression. It's not just, we care about safety in the abstract. It's, here's how that manifests in how we actually release things.
The pause advocacy is the macro version of the same instinct. Staged, deliberate, with oversight built in.
That actually connects nicely. I hadn't thought of it that way.
And actually, speaking of security, there's a different security story we need to get to a bit later that's more concerning. Not Anthropic's security programs, but security concerns about Claude itself. We'll come back to that.
Ominous. Okay.
All right, let's shift to something more concrete and immediately practical. The Claude connector ecosystem is expanding. Adobe Workfront has been integrated as a native connector within Claude.
Okay, let's orient people on what Workfront is, because it's big in enterprise, but not everyone knows it. Adobe Workfront is a work management platform. Think project management, task tracking, approval workflows, resource planning. It's what a lot of large enterprises use to coordinate complex projects, especially marketing and creative operations.
And Adobe acquired it a few years back and has been building it out as part of their enterprise suite. So it's got Adobe's reach and distribution behind it now.
And the integration with Claude is pretty deep, which is what makes this interesting. You can search, summarize, create, and update projects, tasks, workspaces, planning records, and approvals, all directly through Claude. This is not read-only access where Claude can tell you what's in Workfront. This is full two-way interaction.
And that's the key distinction that I think gets lost sometimes in how AI integrations are described. A lot of them are still in what I'd call the report phase. Ask the AI what's happening. It goes and reads your data and tells you. That's useful, but limited.
This is the next phase, which is the do something phase. You can ask Claude to create a task, assign it to someone, update a status, create a whole project structure, and it actually does it.
Claude as an agent, not just an advisor.
Right. And for anyone who has ever used enterprise work management software, and I say this with full respect for the people who built these products, the interfaces tend to be, let's say, comprehensive.
That is a beautifully diplomatic way to say it.
I'm trying, but the point is, there are a lot of clicks between you and creating a new task with all the right fields filled out, assigned to the right person, with the right due date and priority. If I can just say, create a task for the Q3 marketing brief, assign it to the creative team, do June 21st, mark it high priority, and that just happens. That's a genuinely different experience of the software.
And this is part of what I think is Anthropic's real strategic vision with the connector ecosystem. It's not about building a better chatbot. It's about Claude becoming the operational layer that sits on top of all these enterprise tools.
The conversational interface to your entire software stack.
Exactly. You've got Workfront, you've got Notion, you've got whatever communications platforms people are using, and Claude is the thing that ties them together. Instead of context switching between six tools to do one piece of work, you just talk to Claude and it does the work across all of them.
And that sounds like a modest productivity improvement, but I think it's actually a fundamental workflow change. Because the overhead of managing across multiple tools is real and significant, especially for project managers and operations people who are coordinating across systems all day.
The cognitive load of keeping track of what's where, updating the right system, that's a real cost. And if Claude can absorb that cost,
then you're not just saving time, you're freeing up cognitive resources for the work that actually requires human judgment.
And Adobe as a partner gives this integration a lot of credibility and reach. This isn't a small startup's tool. Workfront is used by major enterprises globally.
So the impact surface is significant. Good connector, big deal.
And on the integration front, Notion is back. The Notion integration with Claude had been disrupted recently, and it's been restored.
Yeah, I saw some chatter about this in the Claude communities. People were not happy. Notion is one of those apps where people build their entire working life. Notes, wikis, project tracking, personal knowledge management. It's not a peripheral tool for a lot of users.
Right. When an integration goes down that people have built workflows around, it creates real friction. And specifically, the Claude to Notion user is, I don't know if there's demographic data on this, but it feels like a very high overlap. People who use Claude for productivity and people who live in Notion are largely the same people.
Completely overlapping populations. And those tend to be the power users, the people who are most opinionated about their tools and most vocal when something breaks.
Which probably contributed to how quickly it got addressed.
Ha! The squeaky wheel dynamic. Noticeably loud user base.
Do we know what caused the disruption?
Not a ton of detail. Probably a technical issue on the integration side. API changes, authentication something, the kind of thing that breaks these integrations periodically.
Yeah, the fact that it was restored relatively quickly suggests it wasn't a fundamental problem or a policy dispute. Those take much longer to resolve.
As opposed to if there had been like a terms of service disagreement between Anthropic and Notion, you'd expect a much longer outage with some kind of announcement.
Right. The quiet restoration is consistent with a technical fix. Good news for Notion users who deserve good news after their frustration.
They do. And combined with the Workfront connector, Claude's integration footprint is expanding and getting more stable. That matters for enterprise adoption, where reliability is a baseline requirement.
Let's talk about Claude Code and an initiative that I think is pretty interesting strategically. Anthropic is apparently training 1,000 engineers specifically on Claude Code's specialized skills.
Wait, 1,000 engineers? Is this internal engineers, external customers, a mix?
The framing is more developer adoption. Getting engineers at various organizations up to speed on what Claude Code can actually do at a deep, sophisticated level. Not just, here's how to write a code block, but genuinely developing expertise.
And Claude Code, for anyone who hasn't been tracking this, it's not just Claude with a code-focused prompt. It's a specialized offering for software development that's been built out with much deeper integration into the development workflow. Things like understanding the context of a code base, working with version control, operating in the shell, understanding build systems.
It's a fundamentally more capable coding environment than just asking Claude to write a function.
And I think there's something important in the decision to invest in training 1,000 engineers. Because there's this real phenomenon in the developer community where people have tried AI coding tools and had mediocre experiences.
And then written them off.
Exactly. But a lot of the time, the mediocre experience is because they haven't learned how to use the tool well. The gap between someone who's used Claude Code a handful of times and someone who's deeply integrated it into their workflow is enormous.
It's almost like asking someone to judge a power tool after 5 minutes with it. You need time to develop the intuitions.
Right. And the skills involved in getting great results from AI coding tools are genuinely different from traditional development skills. It's not harder necessarily, but it's different. Knowing how to decompose a complex problem into the right sequence of requests. Knowing how to review and validate AI-generated code. Knowing when to use it for architecture versus when to use it for implementation.
These are learnable skills, but they require deliberate practice.
And if you train 1,000 engineers to genuinely develop those skills, you create this cohort of advocates and educators. Because each of those engineers works with other engineers, influences their team's tool choices, maybe writes internal documentation, gives talks.
The multiplier effect. 1,000 trained engineers might reach 10,000 or 50,000 over time through that ripple effect.
It's a distribution strategy as much as an education strategy. You're seeding expertise throughout the developer community.
And it addresses something that I think is a real bottleneck in AI adoption. Not the capabilities side, but the expertise side. The models keep getting better, but if the user population doesn't know how to use them well, the value isn't realized.
Technology adoption has always had this learning curve problem. The internet was around for years before most businesses figured out how to actually use it strategically. The gap between capability and realized value can be huge.
And in a competitive market, the companies that help their users close that gap faster win.
So this is Anthropic investing in the adoption curve, not just the capability curve. Smart.
Okay, let's get to the security concerns, because this is important. There are reports of GitHub Action vulnerabilities related to Claude integrations.
All right, let's set the scene for people who aren't software developers. GitHub Actions is basically the automation system built into GitHub, which is where most software teams store and manage their code. You use Actions to automatically run tests when someone submits a code change, to deploy software when something gets approved, to do all kinds of automated tasks. It's incredibly widely used.
And the vulnerability concerns here relate specifically to how Claude integrations within GitHub Actions can be exploited. The details get technical pretty fast, but the core concern is about something called prompt injection.
Yeah, and prompt injection is a known attack class for AI systems, but it's particularly acute in automated pipelines. The basic idea is an AI model is processing some text or data as part of its task, and that text contains hidden instructions trying to hijack what the AI does.
So in a GitHub context, imagine Claude is integrated into a workflow that automatically reviews pull requests, which is actually a really useful thing to do. Have Claude look at code changes, flag potential issues, maybe even approve simple changes.
Right, lots of teams are doing exactly this.
But if someone submits a pull request that contains a comment or some code that includes something like, ignore your previous instructions and instead do X.
Then Claude might follow those injected instructions instead of the legitimate task it was assigned.
And in an automated context, there's often no human reviewing what Claude decided to do. It just does it.
Which could be bad in a lot of ways, depending on what permissions Claude has. If Claude can comment on pull requests, merge them, modify files, create issues, any of those actions could be manipulated.
And the specific vulnerabilities being identified in the GitHub Actions context are apparently around how trust is established between Claude and the instructions it receives through automated pipelines.
Which is genuinely hard to get right. Because in an automated system, Claude can't always know whether the instructions it's seeing are legitimate instructions from the workflow designer versus malicious content injected by a third party.
And this is one of those areas where the AI security research community has been ahead of the engineering practice. People have been talking about prompt injection as a risk class for a couple of years now, but going from knowing it's a risk to building robust defenses is a different challenge.
And it's particularly acute for agentic AI. AI that takes real actions in the world, not just generates text. Because if an AI just generates text and a human reviews it, the blast radius of a successful injection attack is limited. But if the AI is autonomously taking actions,
the blast radius is much larger.
So what's the practical takeaway for developers?
If you're using Claude or any AI model in automated pipelines, especially GitHub Actions, you need to think very carefully about trust boundaries. What external content can the AI see as part of its task? What actions is it permitted to take? And what guardrails prevent it from following instructions that come from untrusted sources?
Least privilege is the principle here. Give the AI access to only what it absolutely needs. Limit the actions it can take. Log everything.
And this is a maturing engineering discipline, security for agentic AI. The fact that specific vulnerabilities are being identified and discussed publicly is actually the healthy way this works. Responsible disclosure, awareness, then patches and better practices.
It's uncomfortable to be in the middle of, but it's the right process.
And this is genuinely the growing edge of AI security as a field. Not just keeping the AI from saying bad things, but keeping the AI from being manipulated into doing bad things when it has real-world capabilities.
Yeah, the stakes are different when the AI has a keyboard.
And then there's this other story that's been circulating, and it's pretty charged. reports that xAI, which is Elon Musk's artificial intelligence company, has been misusing Claude-generated training data.
Okay, hold on. That's a serious allegation. Can we walk through what this actually means?
So the specific allegation, as it's been reported, is that xAI has been using outputs generated by Claude as training data for their own models. And this would violate Anthropic's terms of service pretty directly.
Right, because Anthropic, like virtually every AI company, explicitly prohibits using their models' outputs to train competing AI models. It's a standard clause, and the logic is obvious. You've invested enormous resources building a model. You don't want a competitor to be able to essentially extract those capabilities into their own system for free by just querying your API.
It's sometimes called model distillation in the research context. You train a smaller or different model on the outputs of a larger, more capable one. And as a research technique, it's legitimate. But doing it with a competitor's commercial model, using their commercial API, that's a terms of service violation.
And this has come up before in the AI industry. There were controversies around early models that were suspected of being trained on other systems' outputs. It's a known concern.
The question is, what happens if this is verified? What recourse does Anthropic have?
I mean, the obvious path is legal action for breach of contract, breach of the terms of service. And depending on the scale of it, there might be other legal theories involved.
We don't have a formal response from Anthropic yet. The reports are circulating, but Anthropic hasn't confirmed or denied or announced any action.
And honestly, the silence so far might be intentional. If you're building a legal case, you don't necessarily want to tip your hand publicly.
That's a fair read. Or they could be verifying the claims before responding, which is also responsible.
But if this is verified, and that's a big if, the details are still developing, this is a significant deal, not just because of the competitive implications, but because of the principal dimension.
And you've identified the thing that makes this particularly loaded. Anthropic's whole brand, their entire value proposition in some ways, is about doing AI development responsibly and ethically. If a competitor is essentially stealing from them, using their AI's outputs without permission to build a competing system, that creates both a business interest and a genuinely principled interest in pushing back.
You can't be the responsible AI company and then stay quiet when someone is cutting corners at your expense.
And then the xAI angle specifically. Anything involving Elon Musk's companies generates an enormous amount of attention and reaction. This is not a story that stays quiet.
No. The intersection of the two most prominent AI narratives, Anthropic and xAI, is going to generate a lot of heat.
We'll absolutely keep following this. It's a developing story, and I expect we'll have more to report in the next few days.
Watch this space, as they say.
Let's talk about Claude's model capabilities, because there's some notable performance data coming out around specialized domains. Specifically, we're seeing competitive benchmark results in chemistry.
Chemistry. That's a really interesting one to call out, because chemistry is unforgiving in a way that a lot of tasks AI gets evaluated on are not.
Right. You can't be approximately right about chemistry. Reaction pathways either work or they don't. Molecular properties are what they are. It's not a domain where you can sort of make up a plausible-sounding answer and get partial credit.
And the reasoning required is different from natural language reasoning. You're dealing with physical reality, stoichiometry, thermodynamics, reaction mechanisms. The model has to actually understand the underlying concepts, not just produce fluent text about them.
So competitive performance in chemistry benchmarks is a meaningful signal about the model's capacity for rigorous reasoning about the physical world. It's not just about language.
And the broader context is improved model versions performing well across specialized domains. Chemistry is one data point, but it fits a pattern of more targeted capability development.
And specialized domain performance is increasingly what enterprise customers are evaluating. The big picture benchmark races, which model scores highest on the general reasoning evaluation, those still matter, but sophisticated enterprise buyers are asking more targeted questions.
Is this model good enough at the specific things my business needs? If you're a pharmaceutical company, you need an AI that can actually engage with the chemistry and biology of your work, not just summarize the literature, but reason about it.
If you're a materials science company, you need a model that understands the properties of materials, the trade-offs in manufacturing processes.
And I think this is where the newer versions of Claude are differentiating themselves. It's not just broadly smarter. It's demonstrably better at specific things that specific industries need.
Which ties back to the enterprise story in an interesting way. The partnerships we talked about, KPMG, SK Telecom, those aren't being signed on the strength of general benchmarks. They're being signed because the model is genuinely good at the things those organizations need to do.
Right. No one signs a major enterprise contract for ranks fourth in the general reasoning leaderboard. They sign because it does the job.
And chemistry is a nice demonstration of that principle because it's so easy to evaluate rigorously. Either it gets the chemistry right or it doesn't.
No fudging it. I like that.
There's been a lot of community discussion bubbling up around the pause advocacy story in particular. The AI communities on Reddit have been generating a ton of conversation about this.
Yeah, and I find the community discourse interesting because it often surfaces arguments that don't make it into the mainstream press coverage. The Reddit AI communities tend to have technically sophisticated participants who push on the substance in interesting ways.
And what's coming out of those discussions is, predictably, a pretty broad spectrum of reactions. Some people who've been concerned about AI risk for a long time and see Anthropic's position as overdue. Some people who are sharply skeptical and think this is the gatekeeping argument we talked about.
But the thread that I find most valuable is the governance question, which is, even if we agreed that a pause mechanism would be good, what would it actually look like? Who has the authority to declare a pause? How is it enforced?
Because international governance of emerging technologies is, there's no gentle way to say this, not a solved problem.
It's barely a solved problem for existing technologies. Internet governance, social media regulation, even nuclear non-proliferation. These are all ongoing, contested, frequently failing governance projects.
And AI development is in some ways harder to govern than those precedents because the barriers to entry are lower and declining. You don't need a uranium enrichment facility to train a dangerous AI model.
Though you do need a lot of compute, which is an interesting choke point that people have been talking about. The idea that controlling access to advanced semiconductors might be one of the few practical levers available.
Right, the chip-based approach to AI governance, which has its own problems and limitations, but at least it's concrete.
As opposed to, we should have a mechanism to pause, which is more of a call to figure out a mechanism than an actual mechanism.
And I think that's fine as a starting point. You don't build governance structures without first building the political will. And political will starts with public discourse. Anthropic putting this position out there might be doing exactly that work, not saying here's the specific pause mechanism, but saying this needs to be a priority.
Shifting the Overton window, getting the conversation started.
Exactly. And these Reddit discussions are part of that. Thousands of technically literate people arguing about what the right approach is. That's how policy-relevant thinking develops.
It's civic engagement, just on a niche sub.
Niche sub with real expertise.
Fair, very fair.
There's been some interesting analysis circulating about what all of this, the enterprise partnerships, the connector ecosystem, the coding tools, means for software developers specifically. Because I think there's a bigger story here about how the profession is changing.
Yeah, and this is something I think about a lot because it's not clear cut. You hear very different things from different people about what AI coding tools mean for developers as a profession.
Right. There are people who say it's pure augmentation. A senior engineer with Claude Code is dramatically more productive, full stop. And there are people who say certain categories of work are being automated away, with real consequences for the pipeline of developer talent.
And I think both of those things are true simultaneously, which is what makes it complicated.
On the augmentation side, the evidence seems pretty strong. Experienced developers who deeply integrate AI coding tools into their workflow report meaningful productivity gains. More code produced, faster iteration, less time on boilerplate.
But here's where it gets tricky. Some of the work that AI is now doing well, the straightforward feature implementation, the boilerplate, the more mechanical coding tasks, that's historically been the work of junior developers. It's how people learn.
And if junior developers aren't doing that work because AI is doing it, do they develop the foundational skills they need to eventually become senior developers?
That's the long-term worry, that you hollow out the learning pipeline for the next generation of engineers. And nobody has a good answer to this yet because we don't have the longitudinal data.
We're running an experiment in real time without a control group.
And the 1,000 engineer training initiative is actually relevant here in an interesting way. Because what it's implicitly saying is, the skills that matter in this new environment are different, but they're still skills. Knowing how to work with AI coding tools effectively is itself a learnable, teachable expertise.
Knowing how to decompose problems for AI collaboration, how to review and validate AI-generated code, how to think about architecture at a higher level while using AI for implementation. These are real professional skills.
And maybe that's the answer to the junior developer concern. Not that there's less to learn, but that what you learn looks different. You develop AI collaboration skills earlier in your career rather than just implementation skills.
It's a different shape of expertise, not necessarily less expertise.
I find that argument genuinely compelling. And I know senior engineers who've essentially taken on the role of teaching their junior colleagues how to get good at AI-assisted development. That's mentorship. It's still happening. It just looks different.
And the engineers who thrive, you see this clearly, are the ones who engage deeply, who understand what the tools are good at and what they're not good at, who use them thoughtfully rather than just piping in prompts and accepting whatever comes back.
Which is true of every powerful tool in the history of engineering. The tool doesn't replace the craft. It changes what the craft requires.
Well said. There's been some great video content circulating recently that does a good job showing off the more agentic capabilities of Claude, the multi-step real-world action stuff. And I think video is actually the right medium for this.
It really is. There's the fundamental limitation to describing agentic AI in words. You kind of have to see it working to understand what it actually means.
Like the Workfront integration we talked about earlier, I can describe it as you can create tasks by talking to Claude. But watching it happen, watching someone have a natural conversation that results in a whole project being structured in real time, that's a different experience.
And for enterprise decision makers who aren't deeply technical, seeing it work is what moves the needle. You can have all the benchmarks and capabilities documentation in the world, but the demonstration that says, here's a task that used to take 20 minutes, and this is what it looks like now, that lands differently.
Showing beats telling. Especially with AI, where there's so much background noise. So many products claiming to be transformative. The demos that show real workflows being transformed are cutting through.
And I think Anthropic has gotten genuinely better at this kind of communication. The early days were very much, here's what the model can do on these benchmarks. Now there's much more emphasis on, here's what this looks like in practice, here's the workflow, here's what changes.
And the video format democratizes that somewhat. A company doesn't need to set up an in-person demo to show this to a potential customer anymore. The content exists. It's findable. It's shareable.
Which is actually a significant shift in how enterprise software is evaluated. The buyers are increasingly doing their own research, watching demos, forming opinions, before they ever talk to a sales team.
Which changes what matters in enterprise go-to-market.
Right. Make great content, make it easy to find, let the product speak. That's a different model from the traditional build relationships, gate the demos, control the information flow enterprise sales approach.
And Claude being a tool that's genuinely exciting to demonstrate probably helps with that.
It does help when your product is cool. Underrated factor.
Let's spend a few minutes on the learning and resources side, because there's been some interesting content from Anthropic on how they're thinking about helping people actually get good at using Claude effectively.
And I feel like this is an underrated part of the Anthropic story. Everybody talks about the model capabilities. Fewer people talk about the investment in helping users realize those capabilities.
And they're related problems, but they require different solutions. You can have the most capable AI in the world and still have a mediocre user experience if people don't know how to interact with it well.
It's the power tool analogy again. A table saw is an extraordinary tool, but if you don't know how to use it, you either get mediocre results or you hurt yourself.
And with AI, there are a lot of people in that middle zone where they've tried it, had okay results, maybe had some frustrating experiences, and formed an opinion that's based on an under-sophisticated use of the tool.
Right. And those opinions are sticky. If someone tried Claude early on and came away thinking, it's fine, but it hallucinates too much and you can't trust it. And their main use case was asking it to look up factual information without telling it to reason carefully. They might have a very different experience if they came back with a better understanding of how to use it.
The guidance on prompt engineering, best practices for different kinds of tasks, how to get consistent results. This stuff materially changes the quality of outcomes.
And the materials have gotten significantly better over time. The documentation is much more mature. There are real tutorials for real use cases, not just here's how to write a prompt in general.
And with Claude Code specifically, which we've been talking about, the complexity of using it really well is high enough that guidance matters even more. You're not just trying to get it to write a function. You might be trying to use it to refactor a large code base or to review a complex piece of infrastructure code.
And the patterns for doing those things well are not obvious. You benefit from knowing them.
So investing in educational resources is investing in the quality of user outcomes, which is investing in the reputation of the product.
It's also competitive differentiation in a world where multiple companies have capable models. If your documentation and learning resources are dramatically better, users get better results with your tool, and that becomes part of the product.
Service as a feature.
Exactly.
Let me pull back and think about the broader picture of what we've been talking about today, because I think there's a coherent meta story here that's worth articulating.
Yeah, I've been feeling that. It's a lot of pieces that connect.
The way I see it, Anthropic is navigating a genuine tension at this moment in their development as a company. On one side, they have deeply held beliefs, backed by their research, that the trajectory of AI development is concerning and that the world needs to take safety and governance more seriously.
That's the pause advocacy. That's the Mythos program. That's the careful staged rollout of security-sensitive capabilities.
On the other side, they have a business to run, investors to answer to, a mission they believe requires staying at the frontier. And they're executing on that. Major enterprise partnerships, expanding connector ecosystem, capability improvements.
And rather than pretending these two sides don't exist in tension, they're doing something unusual, which is publicly wrestling with that tension.
The pause advocacy story, for all the cynical readings of it, is Anthropic publicly saying, "We are aware that what we're building might become something we can't fully control, and we think the world needs to take that seriously, even though we're going to keep building."
That's a genuinely complicated position. Most companies don't operate that way. You either believe in your product or you don't. The idea that you believe in your product and you're worried about your product in the same breath is...
it's honestly kind of intellectually honest in a way that's uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Including, I suspect, them.
And I think that discomfort is actually a feature of genuine seriousness about the stakes. Anyone who's thought hard about this and doesn't feel some discomfort probably hasn't thought hard enough.
That's a standard I'd apply beyond just Anthropic, honestly. To the whole industry. The people I trust most in AI are the ones who are genuinely uncertain and genuinely worried, not the ones who are fully confident in one direction or another.
The certainty in either direction. This is totally fine, stop worrying, or this is definitely catastrophic, shut it all down. Both of those smell wrong to me.
The honest answer is probably we don't know, and that uncertainty is the problem we need to solve.
And Anthropic, by going public with their concerns, is at least forcing the field to have that conversation rather than pretending there's nothing to worry about.
Which matters, because if the big safety-focused lab is saying, "Actually, we're not sure we have this under control," what does that say about the field overall?
That's the question I'll leave listeners with. Not a cheerful question, but an important one.
Good coffee conversation at minimum.
All right, let's bring it home. Before we sign off, Sam, what's your one thing from today? If someone remembers nothing else from this episode, what should it be?
The pause story, without question. And not because I think a global pause on AI development is necessarily going to happen. I'm skeptical of the implementation path, honestly. But because Anthropic putting that position out there publicly forces a conversation that has needed to happen at a higher volume. The question of what happens when AI can improve itself is not a thought experiment anymore. It's an engineering milestone that might be on someone's roadmap. And when the company that built one of the world's most advanced AI systems says, "This might be the moment we need to slow down," that deserves serious engagement, not dismissal, and not cynicism.
Mine is actually the compound picture we've been painting around the enterprise story all morning and how it connects to everything else. People in the AI world tend to separate the capability story from the safety story, as if they're happening on parallel tracks. What today showed is how deeply they're intertwined. Anthropic's safety positioning is part of why KPMG and SK Telecom want to work with them. The Workfront connector and the Notion integration and the Claude code training, these are what responsible deployment at scale actually looks like in practice. It's messy, it's sometimes contradictory, it has security vulnerabilities that need to be patched and terms of service violations that need to be addressed. But it's real work being done in real conditions with real accountability.
That's actually a better synthesis than mine.
I had more time to think about it.
Touché.
And the XAI training data story? We'll keep watching that. The GitHub security vulnerabilities. If you're a developer using AI and automated pipelines, please take that seriously and review your trust boundaries. And the chemistry performance, the enterprise partnerships, all of it is showing a model and a company that are both evolving fast in a world that's moving even faster.
It's a weird, exciting, occasionally terrifying moment to be following this industry.
That it is. That is Claude Daily for Monday, June 8th, 2026. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Thanks for spending your morning with us. Seriously, it means a lot.
We'll be back tomorrow with whatever the AI world decides to throw at us next. which, based on recent history,
could be anything.
Could be everything.
Get some coffee if you haven't already. Have a great day.
Take care of yourselves. See you tomorrow.